You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. This is hump day. Got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, and it has to be done, you'll mask up, gloved up, distanced, all of that, and make it happen. But if you really don't have to, you stay at home. You know, you just sit back at home and chill. That's what I do. I mean, if I got to go out, and a little bit later I am going to go out with me and my grandson, and for a minute, make our dash and come on back. Yeah. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, it ain't no joke. It's real. And if you are of age, that means you're over 65. I is. If you have preconditions, I do. So, you know, I'm a fighter. You know, I'm a fighter. I've always been a fighter. I used to box when I was young, played football, basketball, referee. I was a firefighter. Firefighter for over 31 years. So I fight. I ain't scared. But I ain't foolish either. You're listening to African Perspectives here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and then the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled for your educational and listening pleasure, I guess. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Kamban and her daughter, Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Thursdays from 7 to 9, after 7 with host Shani B. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. That's right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard for 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturdays from 4 to 6 on Saturday, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 p.m. to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. If it's Sunday and it's 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832.
when you buy black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Check out that website and, more importantly, purchase some products. WeBuyBlack.com. Also, to support them in the effort to develop a supermarket here in the Atlanta area, which I believe the goal would be to have a supermarket in every major city where we are and have local farmers, brothers and sisters who farm, sell their produce and other products that we produce. You know, that's the idea, ain't it? And that's what the idea should be, ain't it? You got that right. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Taimba is on his way. Well, he's not yet. He'll be leaving Friday. He's leaving Friday for Tanzania, November 20th through the 30th. Can't wait till he gets back. He'll be on the program. He'll talk about it. And, of course, as soon as I know that the videos are up on the website, if you want to see pictures of the previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani. 2007, and the new videos from the trip will be up. But other trips upcoming, December 24th through January 5th, 2021, to Ghana. April 2nd to April 12th, 2021, Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 4th, once again to Ghana. And then November 19th through the 29th. It was slated for South Africa, but it's been changed to Tanzania, November 19th, 29th to Tanzania. And if all goes well, I'm on that trip, and you should be too. I'm on that trip. Go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything that you need is on the website. Renoko Rashidi, Baba Renoko, his trip date has been changed. It is now October 5th through the 16th, going to Uganda and Rwanda. If you want to talk to Dr. Renoko, give him a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Or just go to his website, drrenoko.com, drrenoko.com. Habesha Incorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org and see what the brothers and sisters are doing locally here in Atlanta with the Kashi, and then in Ghana with the Kashi Project, you know. But they have the Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, Urban Green Jobs. Believe me, it's a beautiful operation that these brothers and sisters are engaged in. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. The Ledge Group. Land for Environmental Development of Group Economics. That's what LEDGE means. The LEDGE Group, Land for Environmental Development of Group Economics. They're all up in Africa, in various countries. And their whole idea, of course, is to, you know, food, shelter, clothing, water. The four elements that are so necessary. With over 12 projects in 6 countries, employing over 172 people, and we have 259 members. Trying to join, so I'll be 260 members. That's right. And I want you to join the Ledge Group. On Facebook, go to the Grand Rising. On Facebook, go to Facebook, put in Grand Rising. Also, too, you can go to theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. And look at it for yourself, okay? All right. Okay, had a little problem there. Okay. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, if she has books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, figurines, and more, go to the Ledge Group. The Baba Oshie. Get it together, man. Go to the Medu Nectar Bookstore. Our number to call is 404- 346-3263. That's 404. I was looking at the last group on my screen, but I had the Medu Netcher information or the Medu bookstore in my hand. But hey, 404-346-3263. And that's the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore we promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Gazemde Ajamu, my good friend and brother, located in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. That's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, if you're in that area. Also, too, we promote the Wadadas, Wadadas Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy. Number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. My daughter's located right down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Oh, I forgot to get that information. But they're going to be open starting, I think, this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Limited time, like 1 to 7, something like that. I'll get the correct information. I'll try to pull that up. Maybe announce it at the break, okay? I'll try to do that. Cafe, no, not Cafe Ulu. Us Lifting Us. Ulu, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or family-centered economics, as we like to say. Our Thursday night broadcast is every Thursday night. Every Thursday night. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And of course, the program is called Dare to Win. That's Us Lifting Us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Or you can call at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who is doing outstanding work in Haiti. That's how you should pronounce Haiti. You should pronounce it correctly, as the sisters and brothers have told me. Haiti. And she is just being phenomenal. Look at the kids, the beautiful kids. So go to their website, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yabaruti have been doing an outstanding job of preparing and educating our young warriors. They need to be supported. Akaban Institute, make check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use Cash App or PayPal. Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your consistent donation to Akaban Institute. They deserve it. They need it. You know? Kibuka, this Saturday, brothers and sisters, this past Sunday was the Abakasem. Got good reports on it. Abakasem Sumsum. The newsletter, I'm going to get the newsletter and be reading some of the articles from the newsletter. Marcus Garvey called it the Negro World, but it's called now the African World. African World Newsletter. It's the fourth one. It's the fourth year, you know. So this Saturday, the 21st, donations for a family are $20. Couples, 15. Children, adults are 10 and children are 5. And what you do is you put the information in Kibuka, K-E-B-U-K-A, Kibuka. Your name and the email address so they can send you the link. Further donations, you can go to either PayPal or Cash App. PayPal is Yabaruti, Y-A-A-B-A-R-U-T-I at yahoo.com. Or Cash App is just $ Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. I'm definitely going to chime in because, you know, it's a beautiful, not necessarily, it's moving. It's heart-wrenching at times because you're looking at the Ma'afa through the eyes of our ancestors. They're explaining, Baba Rudin is explaining what has happened to us. Talks about the coffin lines when we were being marched from our village in chains, hundreds of miles, hundreds and hundreds of miles. One dies and falls, they stop, cut him loose, keep on going. Kibuka, from 5 to 9, at 5 p.m., this Saturday from 5 to 9. Please check it out. We'll talk more about it on Friday. Kibuka. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. November 17th. Be a man, boy. Be a man. My good friend and brother, Kenneth Zaki. A fine artist, a local artist here, brother Kenneth Zaki. Boys must be correctly brought into manhood. And we have learned through many, many thousands of years of wisdom and practice that the most efficient and lasting way of doing this in an orderly fashion is through communal organized programs where experienced men lead boys, initiates, into the ways of their adult roles in society. We call these programs rites of passage. That is our tradition. African men should lead rites of passage programs for African boys. Men must lead them if we want our boys to become men, because only men truly know how to be a man. It should be obvious as to the ways this is so. But we live in a society intent on confusing our way, and many of us have unwittingly fallen victim to this assault on African minds. Nonetheless, the erasure of our experience still stands as to why it is African men's responsibility to bringing boys into manhood. For those wishing to do so, I would suggest reading Paul Hill's Coming of Age, Nathan and Julia Hare's Bringing Black Boys to Manhood, Jomo Kenyatta's Facing Mount Kenya, Anthony Doncor's African Spirituality, Lenny Tedley's Sankofa, African Thought and Education, Ikwe Armand's The Healers, and 2000 Season. Mary C. Lewis, her story, Black Female Rites of Passage. Yumbani Sandor's Rites of Passage, Psychology of Female Power. George G.M. James' Stolen Legacy. R. Samboli Mosai, The Heartbeat of Indigenous African People. And Mwalimu Baruti's Esafo. Affirm, I am an adult who brings children into manhood. Affirm, I am an adult who brings children into adulthood. Bringing children into adulthood, both men and young women. November 18th. The mark of fear is not easily removed. Ernest Gaines. Our daughter was raised not to panic during times of distress. Through experience, she learned the reason for this teaching. She learned to stay calm in crisis situations, because it's only when peace within remains a practice consent, regardless of the circumstances, that individuals can make the time to carefully consider all of their aggressors' options and make wise, beneficial, self-preserving choices. I still marvel over how this young teen was able to calmly follow my instructions of bringing ice and gauze, finding old clothes, and calling her mother as she kept her young friend composed while blood gushed everywhere from the nearly 2-inch hole I had drilled in my hand. You never know how effective lessons are until the unexpected happens. All the same, though, control over self is in panicking-inducing situations makes them more manageable. An absence of panic does not remove the adrenaline-driven fear that is natural for humans. Such reactions are genetically encoded so that we can automatically or quickly respond to potentially injurious dangers. However, how we respond to these threats to ourselves and people's existence indicates how these innate responses have been socially trained. For there is a distinct difference between bravery and cowardice in how one deals with threats which generate fear. With time, the record of our responses tells us and others of the quality of our character as warriors. Affirm. Courage defines me in the face of any danger to African people. Affirm. Courage defines me in the face of any danger to African people. The Enye Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Your philosophy determines your thought pattern. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with your philosophy, what you think, and it ends with your actions, what you do. So if you think that brothers ain't no good and shouldn't be supported and shouldn't be trusted, then you would treat them as such. But if your philosophy is that brothers should be supported and encouraged and motivated, then you would treat them as such. If your philosophy that you think that women ain't nothing but, you'll treat them like that. But if your philosophy is that women are to be admired, protected, and respected, then you would teach, then you would treat them with respect. You would protect them. It begins with our philosophy, and it ends with our actions. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself. And what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself. And what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. What you have been told. Who's doing the telling? Because if I told you, you ain't about nothing, you ain't never been about nothing. You know, when I say that, you know what I think about? Five heartbeats. Five heartbeats. When Eddie came to his father and was all excited about the group going out on the road, and he was a lead singer. And his father told me, you ain't nothing. You ain't never been nothing, because I ain't nothing. Just destroy them. What you've been told. Too often our children are told things about them that are so erroneous and so egregious and so terrible. It frames their behavior and their attitudes. What do you think of yourself? And because of what they've been told, they think of themselves in a negative way. We have to consistently tell our children how beautiful they are, how intelligent they are. We have to encourage them. We have to motivate, guide, and inspire them. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so, we lay at your feet, the builder's spade and shovel, the mason's troll and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. I've always encouraged you to go to YouTube and put in Brother Lester Velt Middleton, because he has some beautiful interviews, great interviews, insightful interviews with our warrior scholars. You can go hear Dr. John G. Jackson, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Joseph Ben Jokanen, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Chancellor Williams. You can hear them. You can let the ancestors speak. beauty of YouTube. You can hear Marcus Garvey. That's right. You can hear Marcus Garvey. You can hear George Washington Carver. Now, don't get too alarmed, because George Washington Carver was neutered. He was neutered. You know, became a eunuch. Damn it. And so his voice sounds really funny, but he was inspired. He was inspired. So go do that. Go to YouTube. Go check him out. We're going to talk today about the Berlin Conference of 1884-85. The Berlin Conference. You know, I know that I've been on this kick. I could talk about more current. I mean, not current. More local or things that the election, all this old bit. But this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, for the African continent, and for African people to take their place on the African continent, and to utilize the land and the resources that Africa has, and not for others to do so. And if others want something from Africa, they pay fair market value. And that African people have a respect for one another, regardless of so-called tribes, and the boundaries that the European has placed on them are removed. The boundaries, when you look at a map, a political map shows boundaries. Those boundaries were drawn up in the 1884-1885 Berlin, Germany conference, the Berlin Conference, with the intent of a divide and conquer, with the intent of having Africans at each other so Europeans could manipulate and undermine and control them and to exploit them. They already had hundreds of years taking Africa's bodies out. Now they want the land. They want the riches. A little tiny country like Belgium with King Leopold instructing the Belgians to cut off hands and cut off their family's hands. So if I'm a man out in that field supposed to be getting rubber or getting mahogany or whatever I'm supposed to be doing, and they don't like the fact that I am not doing it quick enough, they'll cut off my wife's hands. They'll cut off my daughter's hands and foot, my son's, my little boy. These are some mean, evil people. There's some mean, evil people. Still to this day. That's why I keep saying on this program, there is nothing we can do to change the mindsets of Europeans. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from Caucasian fragility. Not all of them are like that. Let me just say this. The European Caucasian collective, which was on display in this election, because there should be no way in hell that man gets 70 million votes with his behavior and what he has done. No way possible should that bastard get 70 million people. And now all these rallies, there's a rally coming up in Milwaukee led by that Negro Sheriff Clark. That boot-licking, butt-kissing. No way. But understand the mindset of the European. It's here in this country. It's in Australia. It's wherever they are. It is part of their evolutionary development. It is partial of that unfortunate situation in that icebox that causes them to think and behave the way that they do. The Berlin Conference, 134 years after the Berlin Conference, Africa needs to save herself. That's right. carved it up like a turkey. If ever there was an event that led to the birth of a movement, it was the partition of Africa in 1884-85. In that year, European nations gathered in Berlin, Germany, to carve Africa into territories to divide amongst themselves. During that meeting, no African representative was present. Once the agreement was finalized, new boundaries were drawn, new languages were forced on African people. The African men fought against each other, carrying the British flag on one side and the French flag on the other. Since that day, the language, culture, identity, religion, and space that existed as Africa was totally changed. The continent was invaded by imperialists who came bearing arms and punitive armies, declaring lands in the name of Her Majesty the Queen and other imperialists such as King Leopold of Belgium, causing untold destruction in the name of the King of Belgium. When you look at this map, so a couple of places that Italy had claimed, particularly the Horn of Africa, where, you know, Djibouti and Ethiopia was still free. Little piece of France there, but a lot of French. The only part that Belgium had was the Congo. Most of it's French and Britain. Spain had a couple pieces. Germany had a couple pieces. You know, the Portuguese had a couple. Angola, you know. Yeah. The fight for the borderless Africa has now been the center of the attention to promote trade and movement within the continent. Seven European nations had colonized Africa by the 1900s. France, Germany, Britain, Spain, Portugal, Belgium, and Italy. All of them came to Africa for her resources. The cycle, unfortunately, continues today with China and the United States, welding their influence in the control of Africa's resources. Africa, as a European apparatus, was built to have only one function, to be milked of its resources and to continually serve the empires of Britain, Spain, Belgium, and other European countries. Where is the wisdom of our fathers now? The struggle for independence and the effects of colonialism could be felt in the speeches many African heads of state gave. Sékou Touré, the first president of Guinea, said on the 26th of August, 1958, "We prefer poverty and freedom to opulence and slavery," when this country decided not to go the way of France. Prime Minister of the Congo, Patrice Lumumba, more vocal when he said this on the 30th of June in 1960. "Even though this independence for Congo is being proclaimed today in agreement with Belgium, a country which we deal as equals, no Congolese worthy of that name can even forget that independence was conquered through struggle, a daily struggle, a fierce and idealistic struggle, a struggle in which we spare neither our energy nor our hardships, nor our suffering, nor our blood." Although Lumumba and many such leaders were hopeful of leading their new countries to new prosperous dreams, they forgot that these countries were first and foremost creations of these European nations. The purpose of their countries was nothing else other than to serve the economic purposes of those who were in power. Was true political, cultural, and economic independence ever forgotten? With the retention of the borders, the project of Berlin Conference continues. For Africa to move forward, it must go back to the Berlin Conference of 1884-85 and untangle itself from this creation it was forced to become by Europeans. An African where there was no boundaries, where free and free trade takes place between each community, and where art and diverse cultures are highly regarded. Cameroonian scholar Mbeto, in an article on the African Union, the AU, formerly the OAU, on the 50th anniversary, said, has logic of extraction and perdition that characterized the political economy and primary commodities in Africa has not been broken. And with this existing mode of exploitation of Africa's subsoil, we will not go far. What needs to happen is a kind of continent new deal, collectively negotiating among the different African governments and international powers, a new deal favoring democracy and economic progress that would complete and finally close for everyone that chapter of decolonization. The 2063 vision, the year 2063. Well, I don't know about being around then. I'd be 110. The 2063 vision of the AU is highly commendable, but the AU has failed in many respects to live up to its role on the continent. Africa is in dire need of change. It has moved at a fast pace in solving its pressing political, economic, and social issues. Otherwise, it has to move as fast. That's what I meant to say. Because otherwise, it risks falling into the same trap of continued exploitation. To quote Abdoulaye Wade, Senegal's former president, in comparing our country to some of these in Asia that were at the same time level as we at independence in 1960, we noticed that they have gone much faster than we have. We must reflect on this to understand why. The struggle for liberation is therefore not finished. It presents itself today in economic terms and will be won on the development front. Together, we must clearly understand that prolonged economic dependence will ultimately erode our political independence. Well, the thing about the Asians, they were pretty much homogeneous. They were Vietnamese. They were Cambodians. You know, they were different people, but they all understood what they had to do. But we have been divided and conquered. We've been at each other. We've been trained to be at each other. Rwandan President Paul Kagame, in his inauguration speech after re-election last year, said, "The governance of prosperity of Africa cannot be outsourced." While the African passport is yet to be released to the general public, it spells of the potential in increasing movement around the continent without having to have visas and so forth. The unification of the continent, just like I mentioned all the time about the Pan-African Federalist Movement and why the Pan-African Federalist Movement is important. The African Continental Free Trade Area breaks off chains of separation and encourages an increase in trade between African countries. While it is the journey of building will take a while, while the building will take a while, it must be done and maintained. Africa should look more to itself, finding its own solutions and learning from the world. That is our quest. That is important. That's what we must do. We as Africans must do it. It is on us and nobody else.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation, to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is now. The time is right this moment, and not another moment to waste. When you're considering what's happening on the continent, when you consider what China is doing, what America is doing, what Europe is doing, what India is doing, all of them are on the African continent. All of them are utilizing the divide and conquer method of playing one against the other and manipulating our people and getting our resources. Our salvation is on the African continent. We can be a people that are self-defining and self-respecting. We could be leaders in the world. All that is within our grasp. All we have to do is make the move. Release the vice grip that they have on our minds. If you understand that tool, once the vice grip is set, you can't pull it apart. The only way that you can take it apart or open it is turn that knob at the end of the handle. And that means that you're acquiring knowledge of self and our people, gaining confidence in who you are and who we are, beginning to trust one another, believe in one another, share with one another, work with one another. And that knob keeps turning until now it's released. And you see the European for who and what they are. You see all those who are outside of us for who and what they are. And you don't go against them. You turn inwardly to purge yourself of all that ignorance and all that stupidity and all that self-hate. And you stand together. Because once that happens, they know what time it is. It's over. You will not exploit us, not one more minute, not hell, not one more second. We will depend upon each other. We will advise each other. Because the future for Africa and the future for Africans is in our hands. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to further discuss this and talk with our sister, Dr. Akina. Now, I wish we could talk with her. I'd love to get her on the on the program. But article that appeared in the Atlanta Black Star. I haven't read something from the Atlanta Black Star in a while. And it's a few years old. Actually, it's really last year. Building Wakandas, African Union ambassador on how the AU is helping all Africans overcome the seed of divide and conquer. Dr. Akina, Chimbore Kweno. I just call it Dr. Akina. And so we'll get off into that when we come back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You continue to listen. We appreciate it, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media,
part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Mann, Spirit in the Dark. Man, that's cold piece. That's a cold piece. Aretha Franklin, Spirit in the Dark. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central. After that is 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, After 7 with host Shani B. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with LaBanja Chambers. And then 7 to 9, Sankofa Elders Council with host Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, if it's 7 p.m. again, and it's Eastern time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Building Wakanda's African Union Ambassador on how the AU is helping all African people overcome the seed of divide and conquer by Kim Dancor. This is last year, April 2019. The African Union is a continental body that consists of all of the 55 African nations. And its mission can be described as overcoming the greatest weapon that colonial powers have used against African people, the strategy of divide and conquer. The AU's ambassador to the United States and the Caribbean is Dr. Arcana. States that help people of African descent have become the most disrespected people on earth because their voices are missing in action and there is a deficit of cooperation and trust among the group. She further states that other ethnic groups stick together like superglue. To gain respect, we have to come together and speak with one voice. Are you really willing to leave this world the way it is for your grandchildren? She asked the African diaspora. That's what I keep saying. It has to happen with us. We have trusted for so long and believed so long about this country here in America and about European people, wherever we are. We have trusted, blind trust, into a system that consistently disrespects us and basically kills us. So I'm saying that, no, we can't do that, you know? We can't and we shouldn't do that. You know, we have to rise up and have to, you know, do what we must do, do what we can do, do what we should do, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you. One of Dr. Arcana's mandates is to improve diplomatic ties with the U.S. and the Caribbean. Although the AU, the African Union, maintains full intergovernmental organization diplomatic status with the United States, but the mission she truly is passionate about is mobilizing African people and telling those who are living outside of Africa that the continent is their home too. Watching one of her American friends break down crying and explain to her that not knowing where she comes from is an everyday struggle compelled by Dr. Arcana even more than to spread the word of unity and diasporan returns. During the first ever AU town hall meeting in Atlanta, the AU ambassador, along with several leaders of African diasporan organizations, politicians, journalists, and educators, discuss how the people from the African diaspora can come together. The town hall meeting titled 400 Years, Breaking Through the arrested development in the African diasporan relationships. Took place on April 23rd, 2019 in Atlanta at the Atlanta University, Clark College, the Atlanta University Center, Robert W. Woodworth Library. The attendees, most of them dressed in beautiful colors of Africa, were excited to speak with the ambassador about African-related subjects and projects, and several business connections were made over food and conversation. With the guidance of the moderator, Kwabena Boateng, and host Amiri Asur, the groundwork of a diasporan homecoming was further textured that evening. Before the start of the AU Town Hall meeting, Dr. Arcana spoke with the Atlanta Black Star about the state of Africa, the AU's initiatives to further develop the continent, building Wakandas, global relationships, and African descendants taking the wheel. Having built several medical clinics, an African house, and a cultural heritage hotel, Dr. Arcana evidence, she's very entrepreneurial, the DNA will accelerate the AU's goal to reunite African people. We must wake up, y'all. According to Dr. Arcana, the continent of Africa was awoke, but put to sleep by colonizers, and now has to wake up again and go back to its greatness. She elaborates on the role the West played in blocking Africa's development. The seed of divide and conquer was sowed. I hate when these things move. Was sowed during the Berlin Conference, which was held November 1884 to February 1885. The participating Western nations knew that if they could chop Africa into different countries, those small economies could never survive on their own and would be easy to destabilize. To put this into perspective for you, if this world was a boxing game, would you put Lesotho, Gambia, Burundi, or even the Congo in the same boxing ring as China? No. The African ambassador asked with a chuckle. Well, this is exactly what happened. And it's happening nowadays. These small African countries have the same sovereignty as the big nations. So when it comes to trading and negotiating, these itty-bitty African countries are meant to go against the big boys. So we are getting killed, and there is no parity there. The game is over before it even begins. The Berlin Conference was designated to see to it that Africa and all its children will forever be defeated and dominated. So how is the AU planning to wake up the African continent? An important initiative was taken in 2018. The AU brokered the African Continental Free Trade Area, the AFCTFA deal, which was then signed by 44 of the 55 African Union nations. With this deal, African countries can come together and become one negotiating power, just like the United States and the AU in Europe. The EU. One Africa, one voice, one continent, the ambassador states. The ambassador explained how this will have huge positive economic implications for continental Africans. Without the deal, it is easy for small African countries to change their own currency into dollars, pounds, or euros, instead of changing it into a small currency from another tiny African country. And that's important that we understand that. Thus, a manufacturer or distributor of tiles in Egypt has to send his tiles to Italy, only for Africans to buy them at 20 to 30 times the cost to come back to Africa. Inter-African trade will drop prices on goods and drop them significantly. Africa's intercontinental trade makes up 18% of total exports, while nations in Europe and Asia are at 69 and 59% respectively. So their trade is constantly within themselves, where Africa is always on the outside. Just like when I was in Ghana, all those products that those brothers and sisters, we don't produce nothing. Selling on the street on their heads came from somewhere else, a lot of it from China. For the trade deal to succeed, Africans need to be able to move freely around the continent. Therefore, the African Union passport is of high priority for the AU as well. People with this passport are exempt from having to obtain any visa for all 55 states in Africa. Right now, they are working on who will get it first. The AU passport is already available for some heads of state, ambassadors, and approved business people. You know, business people. I am on a mission to make sure that African locals who want to contribute to the greatness of Africa and help build several Wakandas will get the passport as well, the ambassador stated. In two decades, China has become Africa's most important economic partner. Across trade, investment, infrastructure, financing, and aid, no other country has had such depth and breadth of engagement in Africa. This is true. But the African-Chinese business relationship is not short on critics. Chinese locals wonder why their country spends billions on Africa while some of them are struggling to buy medicines or to get decent education. The West warns that African nations could be sinking into unsustainable debt, like the debts to the West and multilateral leaders in past decades that many African countries still bear. And citizens in Africa have complained that workers are not treated fairly by their Chinese employers. Some Western analysts and academies have been even gone as far as condemning that China has become a new face of colonialism on the African continent. When the AU ambassador was asked about Western and Asian countries' history of donating to Africa, she replied with, "They, the West, are quick in telling us to watch out for China, but let me keep it simple and real. You have the former colonizers who are stealing from Africa for centuries. Now there is a new thief in town. You want the old thief to warn about the new thief." To warn about the new thief. And although the AU ambassador states that Africans need to deal with their own problems, she doesn't entirely dismiss China's help and funding. China may have treated us well initially because it was going into these little African countries individually. But now China is funding railroads and is training thousands of Africans. The railroads, ports, a lot of projects in Ghana. There's highway projects and so forth. And they put their name on it. It's a China Mall that was going up. Said right there, China Mall. She further explains during the last meeting between African heads of state and the Chinese president, the African leaders said that they want to work with China, but only when it treats Africa fairly. China is now adjusting and changing. The former colonizers are not changing. They will talk about a railroad for 20 years, but you will never see it. And when they do build one, it is just to the benefit for them and their causes. They were never there for people. Their whole purpose is to underdevelop Africa and keep it in turmoil. That is the difference between China and some of the countries in the West, being real. As for now, Europe is increasingly emulating China's approach to Africa, focusing on trade and on partnerships, not conflicts and charity. The European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker has proposed a new alliance with Africa to deepen economic relationships and boost investment with jobs. Okay. Dr. Akena came to Atlanta to strengthen the bonds between continental Africans and people from the African diaspora. Chances are likely that most town hall attendees already care about unifying the voices of African people and have relatively positive outlooks on Africa. So how will the AU ambassador reach African descendants who aren't preoccupied with their African ties and view the continent as a corrupt state of affairs? It is important to tell these people that they should believe that they shouldn't believe what people have told them about Africa. Africa is the richest continent on earth. I repeat, Africa is the richest continent on earth, and the West only perpetuates the lie of a poor and corrupt Africa to keep us divided. She continues by saying, African people outside Africa, particularly descendants of captives, are really lost because they don't know where they came from. Last February, the African heads of state unanimously approved the decision to officially let the descendants of former captives from all over the world know that Africa is their home. They want people from the African diaspora to know that they too can take the driver's seat when it comes to the development and projects in Africa. Ghana has already taken the lead in welcoming African descendants with open arms. The country has declared 2019 as the year of the return. During this year-long event, African people around the globe will reunite, and their resilience and extraordinary achievements will be celebrated. That's what we have to do. Go home. We have to get out. I know that's hard for us. You know, I know that is. But it is, once again, our salvation. When you look at what's happening in the world, imagine the role that we could play in the world if we were independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign, and we had control of our resources. That we were doing what the Ledge Group is doing, what Habashah Incorporated are doing, building on African land, farming on African land, utilizing the resources of Africa. It is all there for us. The education that we need, we can get wherever we are. If it's here in America, if it's in the Caribbean, if it's in South America, anywhere else in Europe or whatever, and take that information and come home and educate, to teach and build, to work with one another. But see, we're so, you know, believe so much in the Western world that, you know, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So I was a little bit distracted there. But I mean, join this conversation. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You can give us your African perspective on this. You know, like I said, I could, there's so many discussions, so many things we could talk about. But I think what's most important to talk about is what's going on the continent. And our responsibility as Africans in the diaspora, particularly here, and I've often said this, that American Africans are the most technologically advanced Africans. You know, I mean, yes, there's other Africans that are technologically advanced, but as a group, more so us here, we have so many. And I know that most of our acquiring this knowledge and skills has been for individual betterment. And I understand that, you know, but being in America, that's what it's about. You know, individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America espouses. And of course we fall prey to, you think clearly as an individual, you know, that's why many of us could care less about, you know, Africa, you know, could care less about Africa. And, you know, but the thing is, that's what we have to do. You know, that's what we have to do. We have to think about our future. You know, when I read you that piece that Dr. Mirumba Ni said, you know, about thinking victoriously, thinking outside of, you know, because the future to where Europeans, Caucasians, white people want us to go is genocide in nature. In fact, here in America, we're at almost our population growth is stagnant. It's stagnant. It has decreased. It's not negative population growth like it is for the Europeans. they're stagnant because of a number of factors in mass incarceration, homosexuality, brothers going with Caucasians, and even some of those unions. I mean, I was, you know, when you're online on Facebook and they have one of those things about, look at all the football players and their wives, NBA basketball players and their wives, and when you look at them, very, very few brothers have sisters. I'm putting the emphasis on very few brothers have sisters. You know, very, very few. Got a call. Let me take this call. Good afternoon, 602. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Bushi. Good afternoon.
Brother Marcus, how are you today?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
You know, the other day I was talking to a lawyer. You know, he works in Africa. You know, their lawyers, they wear that funny wig on top of their head. You know,
that's crazy, ain't it? See, that's what I'm saying. We're so damn messed up that we using them damn powdered ass wigs that the European for so when you're a lawyer or a judge or something like that, get rid of that.
He got this wig on. So I asked him, I said, brother, what's that you got on your head? He said, oh, that's a part of my profession. It gives me wisdom. I said, oh, you know what? Give me 10 of them wigs, man. I need some wisdom. So anyway, we talking. So I'm saying, the same thing you exposing, you know, the evil that these Europeans people do to black people in, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, but you know the amazing thing? He came back and he said, oh, brother, that's hatred. He said, you're teaching hatred. So I said, really? What the hell are you talking about? If I am telling you, and you seeing for yourself what these people have done, continue to do, you know, in the past, and are doing now, continuing, and we are talking about it, how the hell can you come back at me and say, well, brother, that's hatred? Something is wrong with this guy's head.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I said, I couldn't use you as my defense, brother, because you would have me in prison.
Yeah,
you know, and you're
right.
Supposed to be a lawyer. You say you're a lawyer upholding the law, but when the truth is presented to you, you say it's hatred. You know, and I see that so much on the continent, brother.
Yeah.
Our people,
yes,
especially on the continent, I see it. You know, so we have a big battle to fight on the continent too,
yes,
with the mentality of our people. You know, they are so complacent and you know, I said, look, brother, I said, you have Lebanese here, you have Chinese, you have all these people carting all the money out of your community in your country, but that is okay. Is that all right? And when we say, well, you know what, we want to have a, oh no, you know, oh, something is wrong with that. Something is wrong if you as a black person are exposing, you know, we should have our own tools. They see something wrong with that. It's okay for these other ethnic groups to have that. But once you as a black person start to say, you know, let's do for self, oh no, 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 that's racism, that's hatred. You know? So
yeah.
This is a law, you know, brother. You need to take that stupid wig off the top of your head because maybe that's impeding any intelligence from getting into your brain. It's an impediment, brother.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just had to tell you that, my brother. After I got off the phone with him, I had to go take a drink. I tell you, guys. Anyway, brother, keep on keeping on. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah, powdered damn wigs and all of those things. I'm saying a liberated mind rejects all that has been imposed upon us to our detriment. A liberated mind. It is the mind. We are at war for the minds of our people. We are at war. And this war is intensifying. We can see here in this country and globally the destruction and the murder of our people. Everywhere we are on the continent, Dr. Clark said it best, we have no friends. We have no friends. You want a friend? Look in the mirror and don't leave that mirror until you like what you see. Not the cleft in your chin, the dimples in your cheeks, the shape of your nose, your arched eyebrows. No, like what you see. The color of your skin, the texture of your hair, the fullness of your lips, the broadness of your nose, but more importantly, like who you see culturally, historically. And everybody that looks like you, you like, you love, you respect, you're willing to work with. We run the gamut of light bright to damn near white. We are the world's first people on this planet. Nobody's older than African people. They've tried. Don't you know they've tried? But on this planet, when they dig, the deeper they dig, the blacker it gets. We're the first people almost anywhere. But yet today, the last hundreds of years, we've been made to be despised, hated. At one time, people came from far and wide to sit at our feet. We didn't kick them to the curb. We didn't diss them. We allowed them. And we educated them. We educated Europeans. Later they came back as conquerors, the Greeks. We educated the people in the so-called, what is now a so-called Middle East. We even educated them again in their dark age, in their medieval age, the Moors, for 700 years, they kick us out and then they go conquer the damn world and subjugate everybody. And us even deeper because of the ramifications that it has on the continent and with us in the diaspora and how we feel about ourselves. How in many countries you have African people, but the face of that country is Caucasian looking. You may have programs, but you don't see us. And if you do see us, it's in a derogatory, evil manner. I'm constantly on this program trying to say to us what has happened and what continues to happen. And the only way that we can stop it from happening is that we erase it and change our minds, change our thinking. And look at ourselves and each other in a different way, in a loving, respectful, working way. Time is of the essence. Because time moves faster than back in the day. Because we have technology. Technology is global. You can see right at this moment what is happening. What is happening around the world. You can communicate a lot better. That's the interesting part, isn't it? That you have better communications, but yet you're still stupid. You know? All information is right there. Asking ourselves the question, do we not have the right to be independent, to be self-determining, to be free? free, to be liberated, to be sovereign? Do we not have the right? Does all humanity have that right? What gave the European the right to do what they did? They took it upon themselves. Yes, what they did was evil. What they did was evil. And I see the Europeans on TV recently here in this country because of Trump hailing their conquering U.S. You came here and you took this land from indigenous people. And understanding that indigenous people weren't going to work this land, they would rather die. And even the indigenous people, because they really didn't know, because Europeans developed this xenophobia because of their evolutionary development, this fear. But other people in the world, particularly African people or darker skinned people, particularly if they're in an environment that is giving, that is nurturing, that is loving, they're not fearful. They're welcoming. They're xenophilic. And we welcome them in, just like the native welcomed them in. There was a couple of times that they would have died, but they were rescued. And then more came and more came. And the next thing you know, the lands are being taken. There are fights. They're killing them and seizing more land. These are evil people. These are some very evil people. And yet we believe somehow, some way that we can appeal to their moral nature. There is no morality where culture is the variable. And this is culture. I don't use the word race. There is no such thing as a race. It's culture. And European culture is antithetic to African culture. It does not happen. And what they have done is imposed their culture on us. And that's why we behave and act the way that we do. Let me take this call. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Odiosh, what's happening, brother?
What's happening, Jay? How you doing? Hey, man. So I'm driving. I'm listening to Black Independent News, and they talk about there was some landlord in New York with a 7-story building that this cat is notorious. There's no water running. The electricity is bad. You know, I mean, this cat is just really just dogging the brothers and sisters out. But I didn't think about you, Jay.
No. I don't get down like that. But I read this story myself. They got a lot like that, man. It's just unfortunate. We live in these times where you could have that. And see, the funny thing is, the reason why they do it is because they wanna kick the tenants out of the apartment,
right,
so that they could raise the rent on them. But the way the market is right now, people are leaving the city and landlords are begging people to rent out their apartments. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you're not already in the Section 8 program, they're not giving out no new vouchers, even though I expect they will within the next couple of months because of the housing crisis.
Yeah.
But nah, you have landlords like that, and they get fined,
sure,
and all of that.
Sure,
I had an opportunity with my group to purchase a building like that. But the thing is, the reason why we didn't do it was because it would just cost too much money.
Right, to bring it to code.
The guy had just damaged it. And then what had happened was he just walked away from it. But, you know, I could probably say he maybe have around six or seven buildings like that. And, you know, there's just one probably that he's neglecting because he really wants to get the tenants out. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's,
I know it is, brother.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
You know, right now, housing wise, that they have a law to whereas you have rent stabilization in New York, and because of the occupancy rate, if it goes, I think, over 5%, they deregulate it. Well, because of the pandemic and the crises, it's way over 5%. They had to change the law, which is a good thing, because, mm-hmm. you know, that protects the tenants. I have to give them credit for that, that they do try to protect the tenants as much as possible. But I've always been a proponent that if you have a building like that, you just go in and fix the problem, and you charge the landlord. But it takes so long for that to happen that people just suffer. So
yeah.
That building right there, they could be without hot water and heat for the whole winter.
Wow. That's a damn shame that people didn't make them people live like that. But that happens all around. That happens all over. Yeah, happens all over.
I don't know if they get away with it in other states like they do here, because I know the laws, I think, are different in regards to removing tenants and all of that in other places. But you know, this is what we are facing in a society that, you know, it's not getting no better.
That's what I'm saying. We have to get the hell up out of here. Everything that we do should be towards our liberation. The education, even vocation, whatever we do should be towards getting up out of here, because our existence here is tenuous at best. They are talking about eliminating us. Our population is young and it should be growing, but it's stagnant. It's stagnant because of mass incarceration. It's stagnant because of sterilization. Sterilization, homosexuality. Yeah. It's stagnant. You know, because believe me, globally, we have been targeted for elimination, extermination.
No question.
You know, globally. No question. I'm quite sure them Chinese, and you know, they're talking about moving 300 million Chinese. Well, China has a billion people. They have a billion people. And so does India. We're damn near close.
That's why they're making the move over on the continent.
Yes.
On the level that they are. And it's unfortunate, like, you know, our people don't get a grip of what's coming in to replace us. It's like here in America, every ethnic group in this country is bypassing black people. But black people don't realize it. They don't even see it coming. So at some point in time, within the next 40 to 50 years, you're going to be like the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Because the way that the system is changing, everything is going to be branched off into certain ethnic groups controlling their population, cities, and all of that. But we don't see that because our whole agenda is integrating with the cracker and every other form of subhuman species that there is to do what? I don't know why.
Well, because we have been trained and made to feel bad about ourselves, bad about the way we look, bad about our hair. So we don't want, you know, and we also been trained to distrust and literally hate one another.
No question. Have you ever looked at shipping container houses?
Yeah.
Oh man, I think they are so beautiful, man.
Some of them are.
I don't know. That's why I would love to set up a community with shipping container houses, man, somewhere like Georgia and a whole bunch of land, and they so beautiful and they so cheap, and
right.
I mean, man, you could really build a village.
They remind me of aside from trailer parks, but shotgun houses. You know, you've been in New Orleans, right?
You got to look at some of the architecture that they do. Matter of fact, over in Puerto Rico, they trying to replace the majority of houses that were, you know, destroyed during the hurricane.
Which was last year.
The houses and the architect that's doing it, man, I've been looking at her work, man, and man, it is. I love her, man. I really, matter of fact, it's so funny. I'm on a YouTube channel that shows this white couple that's building their home from scratch, man. And I must tell you, man, I got to give the guy his props because he's building it basically by himself with a little bit of help from his wife. And it's nice, man. I can't wait to see the final project because what they usually do is every week they drop like a 15-20 minute clip of what they're working on, and it looks good. And then I started looking at other what you call them, and you know, I'm just like, man, I really like them, man. I wish it was some place where you know, you can just build a whole, you know, like piece of land. Like,
well, you know, Jay, that would be great because they, I mean, you know, just like other places and where they develop subdivisions and, you know, gated communities and so forth. Some very elaborate and then some, just like you said, very plain and simple, but very eco-friendly. Yeah,
we as black people need a subdivision of African-minded people to come together and sustain ourselves and develop ourselves to the point to where as we deal on that level to, you know, put together some sort of, you know, exchange with somewhere over in Africa to where as like the Ledge Group is doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing it here and doing it there and just figuring out how we can make our lives better because as the Ledge Group grows, hopefully they will be able to get to the position to influence an African country to bring forward technology and all the other things necessary to make it a dominant place and a sustainable place. Because think about all that's going on in Nigeria, but the Nigerians are some of the richest people in the world, but they are the most backwardest Christian Negroes you could.
Yeah, because they're not. Yes, because they are not collective. You may have a couple in Nigeria, because Nigerians are very intelligent brothers and sisters, but some of them have used their intelligence for, you know, sinister ways. Some of them very corrupt, you know, and yet they have all those resources. Nigeria could have been the leader. Nigeria could have done what the Arabs did, you know, with the mineral wealth that they have. They could have done the same damn thing. But like, you know, when you look at Djibouti and Abu Dhabi, when you look at Abu Dhabi. And Lagos, all those places, man. They could have done some great things, man. They really could have.
And my doctor, one of my doctors, me and him always get we always get into it because I always ask him, man, when you going home? When you going back home to visit? And he always give me this sugar honey iced tea about he's an American now and his kids were born here in America.
Yeah.
And they're American now. And I said to him, man, you got kids that you never took back home to where you were born to give yourself the intellect to allow you to come in and do the things that you doing and you allow your kids to become Americanized and to not have any type of real cultural identity other than maybe the food that your wife may cook that's Nigerian.
Right.
I said, man, you really a disgrace, man.
Well,
I said, he got mad. But I told him, man, you can get mad, But remember, you got the benefit of being born home and migrating here and don't even have the cultural understanding to take your damn kids back home to see where they origin from. You crazy.
Well, the thing is this, you become so strained and you become so ashamed about who you are and where you came from. You want to distance yourself completely. He's in an American situation, because you said he's a doctor. So obviously he's living very well. He's probably living in, it's like here in Atlanta. There's many Nigerians here, although there's a lot of Nigerians in Texas. But the ones here, they have wealth. And so they live in gated communities and cul-de-sacs and subdivisions. I mean, and some of the places here are us. Jay, they're all us. They're all us.
Oh, no question.
But yet, they don't pull their money together and say, hey, let's build a strip mall near here so we can have a supermarket. You can employ some of our youth.
They don't even have a supermarket there, right?
No.
That's black-owned.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They do not have a supermarket in the Atlanta metro area that is American African owned. They do not.
But it's a damn shame. T.I. and Killer Mike talking about building black banks and all that. What you need to do is build a black supermarket chain like an Aldi's or a Trader Joe's.
Right. Something like that. Exactly.
You can't even feed yourself.
Right. Because we're beholding. We're always beholding. We're always, just like I said, we got money. It ain't pulling that money together to build something and do something. We're talking about who can we buy from? Who can we buy from?
Or what could we get to show our degree of wealth?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so crazy to just look at some of the spending that is done, but you don't even come together collectively to put your money in a bank. I mean, just think about this. If all of the so-called black millionaires came together and put their money into a black bank to the tune of, let's say, $200,000 just alone, what that would do to be able to build and develop in the black community. The sad thing is, we don't even have black communities that are really viable to take care of our children, to give them that first job, to do the necessary things to educate them. Everything basically is predicated on going to the white man to service you.
That's right.
I mean, when I grew up, they had, I think, maybe one or two black gas stations. Now I don't even know if the guy who owned it that was black still owns it. But, no. I mean, it's like, if you look at basically everything, we don't have nothing that we can really identify as being our own, which will sustain us.
We don't have
anyway. Remember when I was growing up, laundry mats and cleaners.
Yeah.
I remember the Nation of Islam having businesses.
Let me say this.
Now they don't have it.
Yeah, they don't. The Nation doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Farrakhan got plenty of money. The only thing the Nation has been selling is the newspaper. They don't even have the restaurant in Chicago. The Salam restaurant in Chicago. None of that's open.
And members alone supposed to sustain that.
Okay? Exactly.
And you don't even have the public going in there buying it.
Right.
It should be mandated
the members,
that you as a member go in there to keep that afloat until it gets to the point where what you call them keep it viable. We don't even have a national, let's say, barbecue chain.
We have nothing.
You know what I mean?
We're beholding people. Brother Jay, I got to go, man. I got to get ready.
Business.
Yeah, I got to get ready to go, man.
Don't own 5% of the businesses and holler. Every other ethnic group has it. And you know what the crazy thing is? As a black person, you can't go into no other ethnic group and open up a business.
Exactly. You can't do it. You can't go into their neighborhoods, but all of them are in ours. The Chinese, the Koreans, the all of them are in ours. That's because our minds are not right.
They say we racist.
No, that's bullshit.
That we being racist.
No.
What's the word? Racially diversive.
You know.
I just laugh at it. It's just like, if I want to get some fish, I can't go to a black-owned fish market and get some fish. And you know what's even deeper? This is what's deeper, oh. You never see a black person work in a fish market in Harlem. It's always Mexicans.
No.
It's just like when I was younger, they had a white guy, Vinny. He had a small fish spot, and I used to always go to Vinny. But, you know, the funny thing about Vinny was he was a white man, but he had been around brothers and sisters all his life. So it was a different, you know, you could go in there and get good deals
Listen, Jack, I got to get ready to go, man. I'm up against time, but I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate the call. I appreciate you listening.
Have a beautiful day, my
you
brother.
You too. Hotep, dear brother. Peace to you. My guest this Friday will be Brother Akil Parker. Brother Akil Parker has been on many times, an educator out of Philadelphia. I look forward to our conversation on this Friday. Hope that you'll join us this Friday. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Friday. Peace, family.